Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Turbo Time podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Maripodi, the editor of Turbo Machinery International. And today we're talking with the Mythbusters about degradation. So there are a lot of terms associated with degradation, such as fouling, corrosion, and erosion. So we're going to define some of these and then dig a little bit into what causes degradation, how it can be measured and minimized, and so on. So welcome back, Klaus and Reiner. Thank you for hopping on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to an interesting discussion about a topic that is very, very relevant, has always been relevant, and will always be relevant as long as we have machines.
Yeah, I'm also glad to have the opportunity to talk about that, because both Klaus and I have been working on degradation topics probably for, what, 3 decades or so?
I love that.
Well, excellent. Let's get into it. So can you just start with a simple overview definition of what degradation is in turbo machines and what components degrade and, you know, kind of how it happens?
Okay, I can kind of start. I mean, degradation is a very broad word. I mean, my boss and my wife say that I degrade on a daily basis, but I think we need to probably stick more to turbo machinery and systems like that here, where it is actually relatively specific. So if you're looking at a machine, you can look at it from a component or from a systems level performance. But in both cases, it is related to something happens to the machine. It fouls, material is removed, it erodes, corrodes, and so on, which leads to a noticeable reduction in performance, either measured as an efficiency reduction or as an increased demand of power or lower power output. So that's kind of, you know, the turbo machinery aspects of it. There's also people looking at degradation for life reduction, and that's less common. We'll probably not talk about that, but you can look at the degradation, how it impacts the life of a material of a machine. So I think the focus probably today will be more on efficiency reduction, therefore higher power demands, let's say for a compressor. There's many degradation mechanisms, and one way to start off is maybe, as I kind of indicated already, is to look at systems and components. So for example, a compressor is a component. If it has a single stage, there's multiple components, but each one of these components can degrade. So let's say an impeller stage in a compressor can foul, or it can erode, or the clearances of it can open. So you get secondary flows, return flows. All of these lead to losses. And so then that stage will have a lower performance, will produce less work on the fluid than it did when it was originally designed. But then that also has an impact on the systems level. And systems level could be the same compressor where you say, okay, then the next stage, because now you've moved the first stage from its, you know, where it was supposed to deliver the flow as far as pressure and head is concerned, the temperature. Now the next stage, you may not have quite the pressure that you expected, and you may have a higher temperature. And so then your next stage is going to be off design, and so on and so on. And so you can have a systems level degradation where single stages can then impact the entire machine. And you can take that even further for, let's say, a gas turbine, where, let's say, in the gas turbine compressor, you have degradation. And so the compressor of the gas turbine doesn't perform the way it's supposed to and has a certain efficiency loss. Well, that will impact the rest of the gas turbine, because now you're moving all your other components off their best efficiency point. So it is, in a sense, a simple topic, because you can look at it from a single component, but it's also sometimes overlooked. It has an impact on the entire system. As far as the mechanisms are concerned and the components, you have turbo machinery, so you have impellers, you have expanders, you have moving components. And in almost all of these cases, what happens is something messes up your aerodynamics, right? So you have fouling on the surface of an impeller, so you have a different surface shape. You have erosion of the leading and trailing edges of a blade. So it, again, it changes the geometry of the machine, and so the machine produces less head and flow and work input into the fluid. Or you have clearances opening up at tip clearances and then axial compressor, or you have your seals wearing away and allowing for return flows and secondary flows. And so all of these things impact the performance of the machine and is considered to be degradation.
Okay, so how is degradation measured? And then what role do certain utilities play, such as air, fuel, water, oil, and gas quality? What roles do they play?
Well, Klaus already mentioned that essentially a gas turbine is a system consisting of a compressor, combustor, and one or several turbines. And so degradation on the highest level is simply measured what power output and what efficiency would I expect under certain operating conditions from a new machine, and how much less power and less efficiency do I get after that machine has been running for thousands or ten thousands of hours. So the primary measurement is really on a macro level, the power output and the efficiency. Now, gas turbines are t tend to be relatively well instrumented, so you can, for example, determine that the performance deterioration of the engine compressor by measuring its efficiency, and that's in particular a method to determine the fouling of the compressor, but again, the primary method is, and really the part that the operator really only cares about is how much power do I get, how much fuel do I consume to get that power.
Yeah. And what's important to recognize there that these measurements, are relatively small increments from where they should be. So, it's let's say a compressor has a higher discharge temperature because you have higher losses, and so then you increment the temperature a little bit. And unfortunately, sometimes these measurements are within the measurement uncertainty of your instrumentation that you have. And so you need to look at trends rather than just absolute temperatures. It also plays a little bit of a role as how accurate your prediction of the machine in the first place was. And, it goes back to some of the discussions we had on the previous podcast about digital twins and so on. If you cannot accurately predict what your machine, let's say a gas turbine or a compressor, and a compressor would be power demand, and a gas turbine would be power output. But if you cannot accurately predict for under a given operating condition what it should be, then it's going to be really, really hard to say how much it's degraded because you know what it is right now within the measurement uncertainty of your instrumentation. But if you don't know how much it should be, then you have nothing to compare to. So those are really two aspects. Is one, the instrumentation needs to be accurate enough so that you can measure relatively small changes in pressure and temperatures for efficiency measurement, as Rainer said, but also be able to predict for a given operating condition, ambient temperature, process gas temperature in a compressor, in a steam turbine, steam conditions, different depends on the turbo machine here, what it actually should be. Because if you can't predict that accurately, then you can't tell the difference because what the actual degradation of the machine is. The good thing is you can trend it over time, right? You see a little bit of a change. And then as hopefully you see an increase, well, hopefully you won't see an increase, but usually you see an increase of that degradation over time as your machine fouls with operating hours.
And Klaus actually mentioned that, and that's very important. Any type of turbine machinery has a different efficiency, or for a gas turbine, a different power output depending on the operating conditions. So a gas turbine will give you more power on a cold day than a hot day. A compressor may give you better efficiency at a certain flow at the same speed than at another. So the deterioration or degradation is always the expected performance of a new machine versus what you actually see. Now, there is the other part of that coin is the following. For a given, let's say I have in the gas turbine the compressor has increased the running clearances, so therefore the power and the throughput deteriorate. So that same deterioration causes different levels of degradation depending on the operating conditions of the gas turbine. So not even the degradation as such is a constant. It really depends on the operating conditions on the machine. So the key thing is if you want to monitor degradation, you essentially have to start a disciplined scheme of on an ongoing basis comparing what you expect versus what you get, and that actually allows you to trend degradation.
Yeah. It's important, and I mean, we need to probably differentiate a little bit between different types of machines. So, you know, there's a gas turbine, and a gas turbine will degrade because there's fouling, which means really particulate deposits in the compressor. Could be in other parts too, but it's primarily in the compressor that you're worried about it. There's erosion, as I mentioned. You'd have material removal from the blades. There's corrosion, which means you basically have an attack on the metals. So chemical attack, oxidation attack, that also will affect the surface of the material or will remove material. There is clearance openings, and that could be tip clearances so that you have return flows where they're not supposed to go, or then you have seals that are opening up, and that's often related to rotor dynamic issues where you have more imbalance in the machine, and so therefore you have very slight amount of rubbing, and therefore your tip clearances or your seals are opening up. So rotor dynamics can be related to this. But it's important that this degradation will kind of go gradually, but then eventually you come to the point where the machine really doesn't do what it's supposed to do anymore, right? You could end up with sufficient degradation in the gas turbine where you start reliability goes to hell. Basically, you're not being able to start the machine reliably anymore. In a compressor, you may get to the point where the machine surge margin significantly reduces because basically degradation reduces the amount of work that you can put into the working fluid. And so your surge margin effectively reduces because you are not putting enough work in to overcome the pressure differential across the compressor. So you can get basically into surge phenomena. So it's not just I'm losing efficiency, I require more power. But eventually, if you degrade a machine sufficiently, then it just won't work anymore. And that's why it's so important to not just monitor it for, what can I do about it to reduce the degradation, but eventually it's going to destroy my machine from its basic function. But it is, there are things you can do about it. And I think we'll talk about that a little more. But I mean, there's inlet filtration, there's water washing, there's monitoring of it, there's even manual, getting into the machine, cleaning it up, and those are things that you can do about it. So it is important to have enough instrumentation. Go kind of back to that question about instrumentation. It's important to have enough instrumentation and accurate enough instrumentation in the machine that you can measure it, because if you don't, then it's not just a power thing, but it also could be a functional thing where it just doesn't work anymore.
On a gas turbine, you also have to keep in mind the gas turbine has sort of a cold part and a hot part. So the gas turbine compressor is considered the cold part, whereas in the turbine section you have very high temperatures, it's considered the hot part. The degradation mechanisms in the hot part are different in as much as you can actually have either material build up or material removal. Whereas on the cold part, what usually causes degradation is essentially dirt that goes through the machine. And on both sides, what Klaus had mentioned, the deteriorating or the increase in vibration amplitude that can cause clearances to increase.
Yeah, so each machine is different. Rainer mentioned gas turbines, and that's probably one of the more complex machines because it includes, combustor, a compressor, a turbine section, or multiple turbine sections. So it's actually a fairly complicated system. Then you have things like compressors that are really just a relatively straightforward system because it's just a single component. And then you have things like steam turbines where the degradation mechanism tend to be a little different. Here you can have droplet erosion where you have in the later stages of the machine because you're starting to get liquid formation. Your steam is converting, turning into liquid. And so you have droplets that can actually cause erosion on your blades. So you can basically wear away your blades leading trailing edges to the point where they're not functional anymore. But But what Rainer mentioned, I think, from a systems perspective, is very important, that when you look at the degradation of a machine, let's say you measure the power output of a gas turbine, and you see it's going down for a similar temperature day that you had a week ago, and you're kind of monitoring that, and suddenly you're getting less power output. It is important to understand what is degrading before you can actually take any actions to reduce that degradation, right? If you have degradation due to hot section corrosion, it's very different what you would do about it than if you had degradation in the machine because of clearances opening up, or you have fouling in the compressor. So, and that kind of gets to the, what do we do about it? Because before you can do anything about it, you really need to know what causes it, right? So if you have corrosion in the hot section, then you probably have some kind of sulfur or some kind of something in your fuel or some kind of other issue with that is just, causing that corrosion. If you have fouling in your axial compressor, that means probably your inlet filtration is not doing all that well, or you have something else going on. If you have clearances opening, then you probably have some vibration or bearing issue. So it's very important to not just know, okay, I'm losing power here, but you need to analyze why it's happening and what's happening. And you can do that either using instrumentation, or you can do that using an inspection.
Klaus actually mentioned air filtration on gas turbines, and that goes back to the, you have a hot section and a cold section. The cold section of the compressor is essentially affected by the dirt that comes in with the inlet air, and certainly air filtration systems today are perfectly capable to keep particles of the size that can actually cause erosion on the compressor out. The fouling is with the smaller parts, and there are various systems that are either better or worse on the fouling side. But there's also one other thing. About, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, there were a lot of people looking into, can I actually build a degradation resistant engine, or can I, what are the design parameters of an engine that reduce degradation, and what all of this turned out into was the following. It's really not so much how you design the engine, but how you keep the dirt out. So the impact of a good inlet air filtration system is like an order of magnitude more than any design features of the engine compressor. The chemical substances that you get in with the fuel that can cause, for example, hot corrosion, are probably at least an order, if not two orders of magnitude, but more important than how I design the turbine section.
You know, everything comes down to what we call utilities, and utilities are in a gas turbine are, you know, what basically goes in, and there's air that goes in, and there's lots and lots of air that goes in, large volume quantities, and then there's fuel that goes in, there's lube oil that goes in, and there's fuel gas and so on. So these are the utilities, and if you maintain those within the specifications of the manufacturers, you usually don't get in trouble, but it's sometimes hard to keep those within the specifications, and that gets you sometimes into trouble. And so maintaining high quality, you know, through filtration, through monitoring, for example, of lube oil quality, maintaining high quality utility control is very important in a turbo machinery to avoid degradation in the long term.
Now, the situation on gas compressors on steam turbines is a bit different. On a gas compressor, you often don't have a choice what kind of substances you pump through that machines. So if you, for example, form asphaltenes in your rear stages, that is part of the process, and you have to deal with that essentially by eventually having to overhaul or at least clean the machine. Same thing on steam turbines. If you form liquid droplets in your rear stages, that is something that is to some extent a design issue, and to some extent you can actually by treating your last stages with extra hardness, you can to some extent cover. Again, on a gas turbine, you basically are in control, or you can actually control the air filtration into the engine, and you can control what kind of fuel the engine sees, and what processes you go through cleanup. So it's all the extraneous things, really.
Yeah. So, as Rainer pointed out, there are some compression duties where there's absolutely nothing you can do, right? I mean, you have in some of these refinery and petrochemical plant compressor services, you have catalyst buildup, or you have basically plastic buildup in olefin service, where you have acetylene forming into plastic inside of your compressor. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it that it's going to happen. You can apply certain coatings, for example. There is anti-fouling coatings that we've developed that reduce the amount of fouling that happens. You can do water injection into the machine, both to clean up the impellers as they operate, but also to keep the temperature down in the process to basically avoid the forming of these long olefin chains and basically forming plastics that then foul in your compressors. It is also sometimes important to understand that the cure may cause more problems than the actual problem in the first place. Going back to, let's say, a gas turbine, you could put the most beautiful inlet filtration system up front that filters everything down to the ultra HEPA fine filter, but it gives you an 8-inch or more pressure drop on the inlet, and that will then result in a permanent continuous power loss of the machine that may be worse than what you would get through degradation. So some of these are compromise decisions where you say, you know what, we're not going to have the highest efficiency filtration up front, allowing a little bit of, you know, particles in the sub-micron range or sub-2-micron range or so go through. But those are not going to cause any erosion. Those will maybe cause some fouling, but at least our inlet filter the pressure drop isn't so high that my gas turbine loses quite a bit of power. So those are some of the decisions that have to be made, and they have to be, you know, intelligent decisions.
Also, when we talk about fouling, in a gas turbine, as in many other machines, there is something called recoverable and non-recoverable degradation. Typically, what that means is recoverable degradation are all types of degradation that you can essentially remove by washing. So you can wash the gas turbine compressor with washing detergents, for example, and you basically can get the dirt off, and then the compressor more or less looks like new. You cannot do that on a hot section, because if particles bake on your blades, or if any material is removed because of erosion, corrosion, things like that, you can wash as much as you want. You don't get your performance back. So on any gas turbine, and it's also true with other machines, there are certain types of degradation that you can actually recover from by cleaning methods. But there are a lot of other types of degradation, especially anything that has to do with material removal or with opening of clearances, that you cannot recover, where you basically have to overhaul the engine in order to get it to as new condition.
Yeah. And this is very important, because it is important to distinguish between the two, because your non-recoverable degradation will be a good indicator as to when you're going to have to overhaul the machine, be it a gas turbine or a compressor, whatever type of machine is, because eventually it's going to get to the point where if I cannot live with 3 or 4% efficiency reduction, that is not recoverable. Whereas for you recoverable, you can always, in a gas turbine, do water washing, You can even rip the casing open and go in there by hand and clean out the blades. And there's a lot of things you can do to get your machine to near new or as close as possible to new conditions. So the differentiation, it's not easy to measure that differentiation. You can only really measure it once you've interfered by washing the machine and cleaned it all up. That's when you know, okay, I've lost 2%. I didn't use 4%. 2% of it is recoverable. The other 2% is non-recoverable. But the differentiation is important. And there's a whole book of magic that's been written by engineers about, you know, how to do it properly. And if you look at water washing, there's online, offline water washing. There's you use detergents, you don't use detergents, you use rice particles, you use all kinds of walnut shells. That is, and by the way, I totally recommend against any of the later two that I just mentioned. But people have done that, and they have managed to destroy machines in the process. But there's an entire library of magic books on how to do this properly. And if you talk to operators in our industry, everybody will tell you a different story, and there's very little science behind some of what they will tell you, but it's still very interesting.
Okay, one of the questions that sometimes comes up in terms of degradation is how much degradation is too much? Or in other words, when do I have to intervene either by washing the compressor or by overhauling the engine? And quite frankly, there is no such number. This is about the economics, because an overhaul costs money. So if I can stretch the times between overhauls a little bit, even if the engine gives me less power, might be economically attractive. But on the other hand, if my installation, if I have to pay a lot of penalties, if my engine does not give me the power it needs, and I have very little margin, then an overhaul might be something that you do earlier rather than later.
Yeah, I agree mostly with Rainer there, and his the explanation applies to reasonable and normal operators of machines, but there are cases where a machine goes basically over a cliff. And you can tell that by if a compressor, for example, is at a level of erosion or fouling where it basically runs in surge or cannot run its normal operating point without being close to surge. You can also see that in machines. I mentioned ethylene machines before that are so fouled up in the back end of the machine that they're basically choking the entire time. So there are some going over the cliffs kind of limit. There's also cases on gas turbines where their compressor is so fouled up that you basically can't get to the pressure ratio anymore so that you can start the machine reliably. Those are rare, and those are indications of not well-maintained machines, but we do see those. So I do agree with Rainer. It's primarily an economic decision. Because if it costs you a lot of money to shut down the machine or to do a water wash or whatever, whereas may not cost you a lot to just continue running with a little bit of degradation, that's a pure economic decision. But at some point, you lose functionality.
Well, you guys managed to answer all of my questions in one fell swoop, which I love. Thank you so much for your comprehensive answers.
Yeah, I think the main comment is was this degradation, as in anything that the good turbo machinery engineer you do is make intelligent decisions. Don't just, you know, look at one number, look at the machine, look at the instrumentation, figure out what is causing the degradation before you start making decisions on what to do about it. So, you know, is it the compressor? Is it the turbine section? Is it erosion? Is it corrosion? Is it rotor dynamics related? That has to be determined before you can do anything about it. And it's not just a question, okay, I just fixed my machine now. For once, most of these machines are designed to run for 25 years, and sometimes they run 30 or 40 years. So, you know, early on in life of these machines, you make decisions about how to protect them from degradation. That's going to help you over the life of the machine. Ride filtration, fixing rotor dynamic issues, fixing bearing issues, fixing operating condition issues, that kind of stuff will make life for a machine and therefore for the operator a lot better.
As you can see, the degradation issue is something that Klaus and I have been working on for a long time. And I mean, there is a lot of things, a lot of capabilities that have been created in the last decade or so. From the initial, where you basically just looked at your engine, you said, "Okay, I'm having less power, I'm having a lower efficiency," to being able to understand how the components work together. And today, you can, for example, simulate how particles stick to compressor blades and where they prefer to stick, how temperatures in the hot section can accommodate ash or other fuel contaminants baked to the blades. So we know a lot more about degradation mechanisms than we did when we started a lot of these things. And it is indeed a subject of some quite intense research, both by manufacturers but also by universities.
Yeah, and there's also a lot more black magic now that we had many years ago. But no, I agree with Reiner. There is a lot of good science that has been done that is actually very useful, that sometimes there's a little bit of a disconnect between the research and development and maybe even the academic community and the operating community. Some of that information still needs to make it from the technical side to the operational side. But yeah, overall, it's been a significant improvement over the last couple of years.
All right. Wonderful. Well, thank you both for coming on and talking about degradation. Definitely a passion discussion for you two. So thank you again.
It's always a pleasure, and looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, that was really fun. And as I said, we love to talk about that topic. So thanks for having us on.
You guys are great. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to today's episode of the Turbo Time podcast. I'm your host, Alyssa Maricotti, and we will see you next time.